Amen. Take your Bible.
Jump in anywhere, it's all good, amen. Now go to Romans chapter 8. Appreciate all that's going on around here this week. All you ladies downstairs.
Yep.
Men hanging around here and there doing what you do. Seeing this thing goes off without a hitch or a hiccup. Been a couple of hiccups, but Brother McVeigh took care of them real quick. He just scared them away, amen. Oh well, amen. I tried. Amen. Well, we're going to try to mind the Lord, get you out time to eat so you can come back in time to hear preaching. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Father, thank you for this opportunity and privilege. Lord, please, the best I know how, I give you this vessel. I ask you to fill it to overflowing once again. And please take that overflow and meet it to the need of each heart. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Preach a little bit on some things the Lord been dealing with me about. I figure if he's dealing with me about them, somebody else is getting dealt with too. Amen. Why? Because we're all the same dirt ball. Amen. Made over mud balls, kind of, you know. Say, well, I'm not made over, I'm made new. Yeah, but you still got that old thing you're dragging around. And what a lot of folks miss is that old thing. And they tend to look at that old man and look at that old thing. Amen. And they think that's life. This ain't life. Amen. Eternity is life. And what you do down here for eternity makes the difference in your life. Amen. You can have a joyful life. You can have a fun life. You can have an exciting life. You can have a moment-filled life. Or you can have a whole bunch of humdrum. Amen. And a whole bunch of sorrow. And a whole bunch of heaviness. And a whole bunch of burdens. And a whole bunch of amen. Well, I'm trying to serve God. Why don't you just quit trying and do it? Amen. Why don't you just quit trying and do it? Amen. Listen, there's a couple things here. If you look at the book of Romans, if you break it down, it's written in a natural sequence. Which, by the way, your Bible's written in sequence on purpose. Amen. That's why we're supposed to study to rightly divide it so we know where the pieces fit. Amen. And how the history went and how it works. Amen. There's a part in there that's just for you.
Amen.
I mean specially. Amen. And the whole thing is for you, but amen, not all of it is to you.
Amen.
There's some things in there God didn't tell you to do. He didn't tell you to go build an ark. You can build an ark all day long. Now I'm getting to Jesus. Anybody going to get there that way?
Yes,
you ain't going to make it. Amen. You're going to have to go God's way. Amen. Or you ain't going in. And so here it is. This book of Romans is written. First book, man, written to the church, right?
Amen.
I got one amen. Somebody's paying attention.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
We'll go along with that.
All right. There, the preacher. Amen. All right. So here, are you the church?
Yes.
Okay, then what we ought to be doing? Well, I'm thinking, boy, but well, you know, it's so hard to live for Jesus. Let me put it to you this way. If it's hard, you're doing it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
What Jesus say? Come unto me, all you laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you what?
Rest.
Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find
rest
unto your souls.
Yeah.
You ever rested? I only slept about 4 hours last night, but I rested.
Amen.
And I rested for a couple more. I feel pretty good right now, brother.
Amen. Come
on. Amen. I don't feel like a dead man.
Right.
And I don't even feel like I'm carrying a dead man around with me.
Amen.
But I am. Amen.
Amen.
Are we doing all right?
Yes.
Brother Dave, we doing all right back here?
Well, buddy.
All right. Amen. So here in this book of Romans, it starts out, amen, man's a sinner. Man's in trouble.
Yeah.
And the first three chapters, man is a sinner.
Yeah.
You got the sin of the Gentile, sin of the Jew, and the sin of everybody. But then you get to chapter 4, the man starts getting hope. Abraham believed God, and it was counted on him for righteousness.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you got, hey man, you can be saved. Amen?
Yeah.
And then you get saved. You get saved. And then Romans 5 comes in, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's that rest.
Amen.
Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't through being a good boy. It ain't through joining the church. It ain't through your baptism. It ain't through nothing but Jesus Christ. You get a hold of Jesus, get a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it'll all come together. This thing's about a relationship, not a religion.
Amen.
Amen. My dad and my great uncle were sitting on the porch talking not a while after I got saved. And my mother told me the story later. My great uncle looked at my dad and he said, I hear Cliff got religion. That used to be what they'd say when a fella got saved.
Yeah.
I hear Cliff got religion, Brother West.
Yeah.
My dad looked at him and shook his head. No, he said, no. Cliff didn't get no religion. He said, why is that? He said, because religion don't do what he got.
Amen.
And I ain't sure what he got, but I aimed to find out. It took him a while, but he found out.
Amen.
And he got it too, amen?
Amen.
It's about a relationship.
Yes.
So then you get the relationship right, and then what happens? Romans 6, you start finding out there's a thing called sanctification.
Yes, sir.
This old thing didn't die because you got saved.
Right.
It ain't a natural thing that the flesh just dies.
Right.
The moment you get saved.
Sure.
Hey, the preacher talked about it the other night. About Adam, the other morning. Adam, you know, dying twice. Right? This thing, amen. And Adam didn't die physically. Right off the bat. Hello? Well, guess what? When you got saved, this thing didn't die out physically either. Just, well, I wish it would have sometimes.
Yeah.
Amen? So what do you happen? You got to sanctify that thing. You got to set it apart. God already set you apart. Now you got to set you apart.
Amen.
It's already been said. Brother Pratt said it, man. Who's first?
Amen.
Hello? Who's first? Not who's on first. Who is first? Amen. So then you come to Romans 7. Man, you do that and go, Lord, I just want to go your way. I'll do it, Lord. I sanctify myself unto you. Guess what's going to happen now? Romans 7 is going to come into play in your life.
Yep.
And there's going to be a battle like you ain't never fought.
Come on. Come
and I'm here to tell you, after 42 years of fighting it, it don't get any less. If anything, Brother Pratt, it gets worse. Because this thing's fighting for its own way. I watched my mother. My mother, most of you know, by the way, thank you for praying for her last night. God gave us a doctor that had common sense and compassion rolled into one. He's going to let God do what God does. Amen. Rather than trying to prolong my mother's agony and prolong, amen, just so she's going to die anyway, he had enough sense to say, you know what, she's 87. For somebody that's 87, she's doing pretty good. And so we're just going to let her do what's going on. And let, he said, put it this way, let nature take its course. Well, I'll translate that for you. Let God do what God wants to do. Amen. You know, listen, there's a point in this thing where when you come to the end of it, you're supposed to die.
Yeah.
Right. Hello?
Right.
Yeah. That's what's supposed to happen.
Right.
Let it happen, man. Why? If you're saved, what's going to happen to you?
Come on.
The greatest thing you've ever seen since salvation, man.
Yeah.
You're going to step out of this old wicked dirt bag, amen, and get a brand new body, fashioned like honey. And it's going to be something like you ain't never seen.
Yes.
So, that old man, he wants to fight. What did Paul say in Romans 7? He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am."
Yes, sir.
Now, he wrote a whole bunch of books of your Bible, didn't he?
Yeah.
14 or so?
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Anybody in here do that? I don't think so. If Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," where's that put you? Where's that put me? We ain't very far up on the totem pole. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right. Exactly right.
That's it.
Come on, help.
He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." What happening? You got a carnal mind. You got a carnal man that's at war with the spiritual man. Somebody mentioned something about, was him about soldiers this morning? I like old soldiers. That's why I like Brother Harvey. He's an old soldier. He just, they don't die, they just fade away.
Hey.
Lord takes them out, right? I mean, that old soldier don't quit.
That's it.
I was in a, well, I stopped with my wife. We went out after we got down to Olean to see the doctor. We went to eat afterwards. And I sat there at Tim Hortons eating my meal, and I looked over and a Marine came up and sat down, and if ever I see a Marine, I got two words I say to all of them. You know what it is, right? You know what it is.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Semper Fi. Why? Because that is always faithful. And I always get a comment back, and it's either Semper Fi back to me or Hoorah! Amen. And this one said, "Hoorah!" Why? He said, "I'm ready, man. I will run for it, man. Let's go."
Yeah.
Let's go. Then I asked him this question. I said, "With all this nonsense going on, did you ever have the question come up in your mind? Is there anybody left who will be Semper Fi? What are they training them now?"
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hey man, when I went, I wasn't Marine, I was Air Force. But I'm telling you what, they said once a Marine, always a Marine. I'll tell you something, once an Air Force guy, always an Air Force guy. Right. Once a military man, always a military man. I still think militarily.
Right.
My wife asked me what time is it, I say 1600. That's 4 o'clock for some of you, amen. Those of you don't know. Amen. You got a carnal mind, you got a spiritual mind, and they're at war. Get it through this thick little head and let it sink down into this heart. You are going to fight till the day you die. That book says, "Yea, skin for skin, all man hath will he give for his flesh." Right? I watch my mother. And man, she's lost her faculties. Sat there yesterday. She thinks my wife hung the moon. She was right next to the Lord. He said, "Moon." And so we wheel her in, and then a little doctor gal, she wheels her in. She's the one helping the doctor man. They wheel her in this little room to back her up, and it's me and my mom and this little doctor gal. And then she's my mom's, "Where's Linda? Where's Linda? Linda, Linda, where did Linda go?" And she just, you know, insecure as all get out. What happened? With that dementia, she goes back to when she was a young person. And when she was a young person, you know my wife. I met my mother. She was insecure most of my life because she lived with a drunk until Dad got saved. Now, after Dad got saved, things changed.
Right.
Amen.
But before that, she had no security. In her younger years, even as a child, had no security. So what happens? She's living back yonder. So what she got now, no security. The last lucid thing she said to me was, "Don't worry about me, son. I'm fine. I know where I'm going. I know who I'm going to see. I'm going to see Jesus first. And after I'm done with him, I'm going to see your dad." Amen. So I'm not worried. That's the last lucid thing she said. But after that, man, it gets hairy. And you know what I see? I see that flesh fighting for every
breath.
Amen. That carnal mind is going to fight you till the day you drop dead. Amen. That old man is going to be your enemy until you're gone in rapture or death. Amen. Then and only then will you be able to lay it down. Amen. But there's some things you can do in the fight. Romans 7:14, he said, I'm carnal. Then he said, the carnal mind is enmity. You know what that is? That's a real enemy. That's a hated enemy. It's against God. Amen? The carnal mind, look at Romans 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot. That carnal mind cannot please God. It cannot. Did you hear it? Cannot please God.
Right.
Yet so many people are trying. You know what I like, man? You're coming around places like this, and you know what folks don't talk about Brother Pratt much? Who the football heroes are.
Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I mean, you can have to come around here and talk about God a little bit.
Man, you know,
yeah.
And folks
yeah.
carry on an intelligent conversation, Brother Tim, about God.
Yeah.
Why? Because they got an intelligent preacher, amen, that teaches them about God.
Yeah.
And live before them like God would have them to live. And to be a real man to them.
Yeah.
Both in and out. Amen. And you can talk about, I mean, these young men will actually come up to me, Brother Mike, and talk to me about God.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. I like it.
Yes,
there's a couple of places where you still do this.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what that does? That pleases God.
Yes, sir.
I mean, man, I've been there where it's, you come in. And, I mean, I was a motorhead. You and I cut out the same cloth. You know that. We go back a long way. I think Noah was off the boat by the time we started out. And, I mean, listen. I can remember the day I got saved Saturday night and went to church Sunday morning, and I can remember my very first time in church, still like it was yesterday. They had a board like much like that one right there. It was an attendance thing. It said they had, you're going to like this, brother, 396 people there that day. How do I know that? I had a Chevelle SS 396. I was a motorhead. It sticks, right? Listen, I can tell you about the intake. It was a 6-inch high ride, Wian manifold. I can tell you about the pistons. Back then, they were the baddest in town. They were 10.5-1 dome pistons. I mean, I can tell you all about it. I could break that motor down and tell you every nut and bolt and torque spec. I mean, why? Because I was a motorhead. And I could get in and I could talk with the motorheads. And I could go, I mean, as long as you want to go, toe to toe, head to head. But you know what I'm starting to get now, finally, after 42 years? I'm a little rusty in some of that stuff. Why? Because for 42 years, the things of this world have been getting bigger.
That's it.
That's
it.
Yeah.
That's
right. That's so good. Hallelujah.
Now you know what I like? I like to talk about this right here.
Come on, that's man. Right.
Man, I got students. Brother, I don't do the internet yet. I got a young man that wants me to help him get one started, an internet school, where it'll be internet and in-house. We're going to work on that a little bit this fall. But we've started institutes all over the world, different places. And I always train the men that are there, teach the men that are there. What good is it if nobody's there? And so, but this is the curriculum. So I got students all over the world. I got pictures in my phone. I can show you. This young man I'm working with went back to New Guinea where I was, had a picture with the witch doctor boy that was there. They got saved after I first got there.
Man.
He's one of the earliest converts. And man, he's still preaching.
Lord,
he's still teaching. He's still witnessing. He's still doing what he was taught to do. And what God put in his heart, see. That's where it's at, folks. Listen.
That's right.
He sent me this picture. He says, you recognize this guy?
I said, well, face looks familiar, but the hair is a lot whiter. That was a long time ago. I said to Linda, I said, you recognize this guy? She said, yeah, that's Poo Poo.
Yeah.
Amen. Just so you know, amen, Poo Poo and Weedoo, and Weedoo dialect means wind. It don't mean what you're thinking. Okay? But that's the kind of stuff that God likes. I like it when God can get in conversation. But like when we sit here talking, God can kind of slide right in here and say, hey, boys, hey, what do you think of that? Yeah, pretty good. Huh? Where God's interested. I like it when God's interested. Why? Because God kind of settles in. Have you noticed that God's kind of settled in around here this week? Have you noticed there's something going on in your heart this week? That ain't because the carnal man's getting it all. If the carnal man's getting it all, you can count God out. I've been in churches that don't have me in no more. Why don't they have me in? Because they went this way and I went that way. Why? Because I'm going to walk with that book until God takes me out by the grace of God. And with the help of God, I don't have time anymore, amen, to sit around and play games, amen. Like I don't know how to play a game on my phone. Ain't got one on there. Amen. Won't put one on there. Only thing I got my Bible on there. Amen. But I use that because if I'm out somewhere and don't have my Bible, it's pretty hard to get that in my pocket. I pull that phone out. Where's that verse? I'm like, okay, there it is. And you know what? You know what I found out about Tim? Half the time, that phone can't even find it. Thank God, amen, for a Bible I can turn to and see it. By the way, go ahead and write notes in the margin of your phone.
Right.
Amen. I'm telling you, that carnal mind can't please God. Secondly, look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The biggest fight I see Christians with today is trying to force the carnal mind to be subject to God. You cannot do it. God said it, I didn't.
Amen.
Quit trying. Quit trying to make that old man a subject to God. You can't do it. God said so.
That's right.
People say, why can't I get this? Because you can't. God said
that's right.
So.
That's right.
There's just some things you cannot do. Because God himself won't do it.
Amen.
So quit trying. See, where are you going with this? Hold on. I'll pick up speed. It's kind of like a freight train. Can't be subject to the law of God. You know what else you can't do? Take your Bible, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, look at verse 14. But the natural man, that's that carnal man, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
That's right.
The carnal man can't get it.
Right.
Some of you can't get it. Why? You're trying to do it carnally.
Yeah.
You're trying to do it with the old man. Yeah. And you can't do it. He ain't going to get it. He ain't going to understand it. Why can't I get it? Because you're trying to use your flesh to get to God.
Right.
You're trying to go, amen, through carnal means to get to God. Just believe God.
Amen.
I had a fellow in Cuba, Jose, Pastor Jose. He's now, I'm not even going to talk much about it because I don't want to bring reproach down upon him. I'm not going to say where he's at. But he came to me, God gave him to me to disciple and to train and teach. And I'd been down there several times. He said, Brother Cliff, you're telling us about how you do all this stuff and you ain't got no money. I said, I don't. But my God owns it all.
Yeah.
My Father owns the riches of it all. And when I need something, I go to him. And he provides it, and I do what he wants me to do. And I told him how I prayed, and God answered, and things happened, and this happened, and that happened, and this was provided. And he began to weep. He said, Brother Cliff, God's been dealing with me ever since you were down there the first time to leave my church. Now, to leave the church, that means you lose everything. Because Castro and the government back then, now Castro's dead, so it's just the government, but they don't give a pastor nothing. Zero. You know, if you're an average citizen, you get $8 a month back then. Oh, and by the way, the government takes that all back for gas, water, and electric.
Yeah.
Good luck buying food. Oh, wait a minute. We'll ration your food. We'll give your family a five pound bag of rice, a couple of potatoes, a little bit of soap. That's for the month. You mamas are setting your big eyes going, oh, how are you going to feed them like that? You ain't. If God don't do something, you're in trouble. Or if the black market don't exist, you don't get it, don't get nothing. And so here it is. And he says, God's been dealing with me about leaving my church. There, the churches take it literally. They take care of the pastor. Completely. He's fed, clothed, everything he needs is provided for him by them. He said, that means I got to leave it all. Leave my house, leave everything I got. And move cross country and start in another place. And he said, you've told us how God took you over this country, that country. I got pictures. I mean, I'm not just a tourist, you know what I mean? And he said, and here's these works, and here's these people, and here's these men training these men. And he said, I preach, I got to go. I got to go. God didn't deal with me. And he said, if you can do it, so can I. Preacher, I got to go. I said, go.
Yeah, go.
I was in Sergio's living room. There, the house Dr. Eastep used to live in where they lived. I don't know if he still lives there. When that man said that to me, he said, I got to go. He said, as soon as he get me on a plane, I'm going back. He said, I'm resigning everything, and I'm moving. And then I met him after he moved. But then he went down there and he said, I showed up in this city, 100,000 people in the city. He walked in the city and he said, I'm just walking around praying. Buck Cliffy walked up to some dude, and this dude looks at him and says, excuse me, are you a preacher? He said, yes, sir, I'm a preacher. He said, my ears started perking up. He said, are you a Baptist preacher? He said, yes, sir, I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, are you an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher? He said, yes, I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. He said, please don't get mad at me, but I got one more question. Are you a Bible-believing Baptist preacher? He said, yes, sir, I'm a Bible-believing Baptist preacher. He said, praise God, I've been praying for a Bible-believing Baptist preacher for 2 years. He said, I found him. He said, come with me. He invited him into his house. Now he's got a house. Now what did he do? He moved his family over into this room and gave that room to the preacher and his family. That's the way they got to do it. So what did he do? He said, I started preaching in the living room. So how did they do that? They took the furniture and moved it outside. And they set up some chairs in the living room. He said, the first service we had 12. The picture, he showed me that you can't walk in the living room. It's packed. And the windows open. And the people sitting out there. And the yard's packed. People sitting there listening to the preaching. What happened? You can't do this thing in your carnal mind. You can't figure this thing out if you stay up all night with a figuring machine. Say, well, I get me an abacus. You know, there's no electric to that. You still can't do it.
That's right.
Some of you don't know what an abacus is, right? I'm telling my age, right? That's an old, old, old ad machine. Amen. China style. But he can't be subject to the law of God. He can't grasp the things of God. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're in chapter 2 there. Just go to chapter 3. I should have stayed there.
First Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 1. Our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what?
Carnal.
Even as unto what? Babes in Christ. You know what that carnal man is? He's a baby. He can't be anything but a baby. And when it comes to spiritual things, he's lost. He ain't never going to get it. People are going to have to treat him like a baby all the time. Why? You can't walk up to a baby and feed him a T-bone steak. That ain't going to happen. So man, you want to talk about some good things of God, you can't even talk to him. What you got to do? You got to get him saved first. You got to get him where he can overcome that carnality first. Where he's got help getting over that thing. Say, what? Well, we're building up steam. We'll get there. Not only this, but look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I lost my place. I flipped it back. I keep going back and forth. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 4. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know what he's always doing? Look at verse 14. If any man's working, no, that's not the one I'm looking for. But here's what it is. He's always fighting for his rights. He's always fighting. That carnal man, that carnal mind, always fighting for his rights. I got the right.
Bless God, I'm American. I got rights.
You got the right to go to hell. And you deserve it. Since you've been saved.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
But you ain't going if you're saved.
Amen.
Because this thing didn't get saved when you got saved.
Right.
We'd always fight. I mean, I meet a Bible believers, Brother Cliff. They're going off the deep end, man. Hey, you know me. Look here, man. Look. See it. You see that right there? There we are, Brother Henry. Amen. That's us. United States Air Force. My goal was to become a Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force. Only one of the entire Air Force. My goal was to get there. I had men helping me, and I was on my way when God saved me.
Amen.
It lost its luster.
Amen.
And that was it. And it's gone.
Amen.
I'm American from the tip of that boot to the top of that head. My ancestors, I can tell you their names if I go home and get them out of the family registry. My ancestors, the Taylor side, fought beside George Washington.
Amen.
I'm an American, bless God. I got rights. But I gave up those rights. When I became a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
I had a fellow in my church when I pastored over here in Pennsylvania a while, years ago. Man, I'm telling you, I might say I probably used him before, I always do. He had an arsenal, man. He had one of them SKSs and one of them AK-47s. You know, 10,000 rounds of ammo. And he was just scared to death. They're coming after us. Brother Greg, they're coming after us with black Jeeps and black tanks. I mean, he saw black Jeeps in every tree and a black tank behind every rock. You know, his eyeballs, you know, Caleb, his eyeballs kind of rotated, man. You're talking about it. It's like a cartoon character. I said, what are you going to do? Okay, you got 10,000 rounds. What are you going to do if they send 10,001 troops? You're going to be out of bullets. And guess what, son? You're going to be dead.
Come on.
That's right.
Yeah, but bless God, 10,000 will go down. Where are they going to go?
Come on.
Right. What do you mean? Where are their souls going to go?
Come on, preacher.
You're going to send them to hell, ain't you?
You're right.
Did God ever command you to send anybody to hell?
Come on.
Did he command you to send anybody to hell?
No, sir.
No, sir. Yeah, I've got guns, man. They just don't come around my house in the dark. Amen. You do identify. I'm a hillbilly.
Come on.
Amen. And I will exercise those God-given rights. But when it comes down to killing people, really, I had one. You know the story. I had one. Brother Harold, where we come from, this man committed a shooting offense.
Yes, sir.
Against my daughter.
Come on, Bruce.
Amen.
My second daughter. Any man had to, and I, Brother Tim, my daughter's asked me, said, Daddy, you always said you'd shoot somebody like that. Why didn't you? And I began to weep, and I said, honey, because you see now, I'm Papa. I got 16 grandkids, 2 great grandkids, 3 married grandkids. I said, you know what I thought of when I thought about that shoot? I did. Believe me, don't you think it didn't cross this carnal mind?
Right. That's right.
I mean, brother, me and Wyatt Earp was in the same school just about.
Right.
And I thought about it. But then you know what I thought about, Brother Mike? I thought about my grandkids. And my 2 little precious great-grandkids. Didn't have them yet, but they were still in my mind. Happened to visit Papa through a class. He just told us about a fellow standing up for right and what's happening to him in Ohio. That's America, folks! Where you got rights! Unless you're trying to do right. You know what I got now? I got 2 precious little great grandbabies. And when they're in the States, they're missionary kids. But when they're in the States, they get bounced on my knee. The oldest one knows Papa by singing. Her and I would sing together. She got over there in New Guinea this last time, and I was talking to him on WhatsApp and video, and my granddaughter's got her on her lap, and she asked her mama, she said, who that, Mom? Who that? She said, that's Papa. Oh. She said, you want to talk to Papa? She said, no. What? You don't want to talk to Papa? No. She's about ready to start crying. Why don't you want to talk to Papa? I don't hear Papa saying. Well, I'm telling you, talk about melt your heart. I sure am glad I didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, right. Amen. Vengeance is the Lord's.
That's right.
I've watched God get the fella. And can I tell you this? God's got a whole lot better getter than you do.
That's right.
I've watched God Almighty. It was my second daughter. I watched God Almighty get that man's second daughter. The same way! You better be careful what you do in that flesh and that carnal mind. I'm talking about a preacher!
Come on, preacher.
That's right.
I watch God do it. I don't say that proudly. I don't say that boastfully. I don't say that, yeah, I got you. Why? Because Brother Pratt, I forgave the man.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's more power in forgiveness than there is murder.
Right.
And that's what I had to help my daughter with. Daddy, how'd you do it? Paul said, if I forgave any person, forgave I them in the person of Christ. God, I can't forgive him. Cliff wants to shoot him.
Yes.
Lord, if you'll forgive him through me, I can forgive him in the person of Christ.
Right.
I've met that man in town with about a half a dozen of my Bible students with me as witnesses. And I walked up to him, Brother Black, hugged his neck, weeping. And I told him this, I love you and I'm praying for you. And meant it.
That's great,
man.
That's God. That ain't the carnal mind. You can't do that in the carnal mind. Because it's nothing but a baby fighting for his rights. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says you can't fight the battle we fight with that carnal mind. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal! But mighty through God that are pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Right? And every high thought, everything that not, you know, I'm slaughtering the verse. But But you can't fight a spiritual battle with a carnal mind. You can't do it. Those battles will come to you, and listen, they're going to come. Those of you ain't been saved very long, I will guarantee you, you have already faced some battles that you didn't think you were going to face.
That's right.
I've been there, done that. I mean, everybody's been saved any length of time has. Why? Because it's going to come.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, why? Because you're at war. That carnal mind hates God.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Look at Romans chapter 8 again. Those things in mind now. Verse 9. What's it say there? Verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Carnal mind's enmity of God, can't be subject to God. Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, look at this, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Do right! You know what you got? Because you got the life of God in you, you got the power to do right. If you're saved, well, doth can't do it, preacher. That's all there is to it. Don't ask me to try. Huh? No, you can. You can do it. I can do what? All things through mom. Through daddy. Through the preacher. Through the church. Through my baptism. Through my good works, I can do all things through Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Body's dead. The spiritual man will not naturally overpower the carnal man. It doesn't just happen. We look at Brother McVeigh, the fine spiritual example that he is. Boy, we think, man, I mean, somebody just waved a wand. There was Brother McVeigh, just like you. Fine preacher and his wife sitting right here. I mean, a fine man of God. Look at it, man, he's got a spiritual mind. I know him. Didn't just happen, did it? Didn't just. Okay. Didn't walk up and pour a little, you know, WD-40 on your head and boom, I anointed myself. Now look at me. It don't happen that way. It's not just clicking or, you know, clicky, 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 you know, or wiggle your ears. Amen? What is it? Work. What had to happen? Brother Seeley had to put some things to death. Brother Tim, wherever he went, had to put some things to death. That man sitting right back there, he kind of moved up in the world. Don Green died. Don Green was the holiest man I ever met. He's gone now. So guess who took his place? Brother Ron Williams. Love you, brother. They didn't just get there by accident. You're a preacher, 16 years in this place. I mean, go ask anybody outside of the state of New York, have you ever heard of Black Creek, New York? By the way, I don't call it Black Creek, I call it Black Creek. It's a creek where I come from. I ain't sure where Black Creek is, but I know where the town is, it's right here. Huh? By the way, preacher, you'd be glad to know this. I found another church where a young man of God went 20 years ago and took the church. And really it was forced on him. His pastor, they got off into the bib overall thing, you know. We're going to get out of that thing of the world and wear bib overalls. You know, everybody comes to church in bib overalls. Well, they soon figured out the pastor was a nut. And then he rolled out the door and got squashed. And so they figured they needed a new pastor. A bunch of us left because that was their cue to leave. And if one of the guys in the church stood up, started teaching, started preaching, he didn't know what to do. Oh, he was going to teach him what he knew.
And he had some of the big shots in. If I named the big shots, y'all wouldn't know them. And the big shots all came to, shut her down, man. God's through with this place. Yeah. Testimony ruined it. Little old country town. I mean, really, the church is the only thing on the road. I mean, you go out there and you keep going. Is there a church around here? And all of a sudden, you pop into a little holler, and there's the church. I went there 20 years ago. When I went there, the pastor, he was still shell-shocked, had just got the church, kind of dumped in his lap. He said, and I got it all done in the service. He said, preacher, what do you think? I said, man, I think God's all over this place. I think God's trying to do something here. I think God just got the riffraff cleaned out, the driftwood's gone. And I think now God can do something in the liberty and power of the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
He said, really, you think so? I said, yeah, I think so. I was just back there last summer. They've added on to the church. It's three times as big as it was. Big stone, edifice, massive, beautiful building. And you come in, the little auditorium's still there, but then right behind it is the new one. And so it's all, they kind of melded it all together so folks can still sit in old seats or sit in new seats or wherever they want to go. 20 years ago, there's six people left when I got there. Last summer, there was 105 in attendance. I got done preaching, and the preacher said, all of y'all that got saved since Brother Taylor was here 20 years ago, please stand up. And over 90 people stood up. Preacher, that young preacher had won each and every one of them to Christ and had them in the church, and they came back Sunday night. That's a weird thing nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You know why he did it? He didn't do it with a carnal mind.
Right.
He had to do it in the spirit and power of God. So what'd he do? He got to put some things to death. And I ain't got time to develop this, but I'll say this. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter 3. First Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Look at this. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And you go back to Romans 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead unto sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto his death, baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, so ye also ought to walk in newness of life. How you do that? You don't do it with a carnal mind. You do it with that spiritual mind. How's it work? Go to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll be done. Galatians 5, verse 24. You believe every word in your King James Bible?
Amen.
Amen. You believe the jots and tittles?
Yes, sir.
You believe them italicized words? Mm-hmm. I'll give you one more. You believe them brackets?
Yes, sir.
They were put there on purpose by God.
Right. I believe it.
Amen. And if they weren't, you don't have a perfect Bible, you don't have a perfect God, you might as well go get drunk and go on your merry way, because it ain't so. But it is so, because God gave you an exact copy of what's up there that he's going to hold you in judgment for.
Yeah.
Galatians 5:24, if we live in the Spirit, I'm sorry, yeah. And they that are Christ have, see that? Have. Past tense, isn't it? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. And again, I don't have time to develop it all. But all those things that come up in your heart that war against your soul and war against your spirit, what are you supposed to do? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. They that are you Christ here this morning? Are you saved?
I got one saved.
Mom?
Amen.
What are you supposed to have already done?
Crucified
the flesh. That's all that lust. That's all that thoughts. That's all that stuff that wars against you living for God. And it wars against that Bible. Have crucified the flesh with the affections. You know what that is? Y'all know what affection is, right? That's a simple English word. That's them things you used to love. Like I said, I used to love them cars. They're all kind of a distant memory now.
Yeah.
Oh, I can talk a little bit with you. I jammed a few gears in my day. I wrecked a few in my day. I mean, you know, I was stupid too. But man, when God got a hold of me, He got a hold of me.
That's right.
And the greatest thing you'll ever do is let God get a hold of you.
Amen.
Parents, the greatest thing you'll ever do with those youngins is let God get a hold of them.
Right.
He's not going to hurt them. Got one on the mission field right now. Got another one married to an associate pastor, a youth pastor right now. Got another one we're really praying hard for. But man, she's struggling. Why this year right here? Trying to figure that thing out in carnal mind. You can't do it. You ain't going to win thinking carnally. You ain't going to win trying to figure it out. I'll tell you how you're going to win. What's the Bible say? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Is that what it says?
Submit yourselves therefore to God.
The prerequisite is submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you aren't submitted to God, you can forget it. The devil's going to beat you from pillar to post. And he's going to keep beating you from pillar to post. And he's going to keep beating you from pillar to post. And he's going to keep beating you from pillar to post. And he's going to keep beating you. Did you get it yet? He's going to keep beating you from pillar to post until you submit to God. You submit to God. You know what you got? You got His help. You can run to Him. And that book says, and it's already been quoted, the prudent man foreseeth the evil, says it twice in the book of Proverbs, 22:3 and 27:12, something like that. Prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. You know why? Till the storm passes by. Till the sin passes by. Till the ugliness passes by. But the what? The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the what?
Simple.
The simple pass on. And are punished. What? How come that's happening to me? I just don't know. But why is this happening to me? I ain't got it. Yeah, the problem, you ain't got it. Is you're trying to figure it out in a carnal mind. And you won't submit to God. And get right with God. And let God fight your battles through the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
Go ahead and fight. You're really fighting God. Because why? The old man's dead. Let us, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? Submit yourself therefore to God.
Yeah.
Obey. Simple. There's some that have not obeyed the gospel.
That's right.
You ain't even on step one. You can't even get out of the mud. And there's some that got out of the mud, but they ain't figured out they're out of the mud yet. And they're rolling around in the mud trying to fight the mud, and all they got to do is stand up. You ever see a fellow running, screaming, I'm drowning, he's standing in a foot of water. If he'd stand up, he'd quit drowning. You got power. Power in the book. Power in spiritual life. There's power, amen, in the will of God. Power you never knew existed.
Right.
And all you got to do to get it is submit. Yeah. That simple little thing. Just submit yourself to God.
Amen, Brother Taylor.
Amen. Brother Church, will you pray for us, please?
Father in heaven, how privileged that we are, God, to hear what we heard. beg in Jesus' name, whatever it takes, Father, whatever it takes. Yes, however you see fit. Lord, if it's persecution, then send it on. Lord God, if it's financial collapse, send it on. We'll never do anything for God to do what we're doing right now unless you help us. And I beg you to do it.